will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gilzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. Boone. Esquivel. Excuse for business of the House. Dingfelder. Galizio. Morgan.
Mike Salute will be led by Representative Wayne Krieger.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask my colleagues in the House to offer the courtesies of the House to one of my dear friends, Dean Flaherty Robb, up in the side gallery. Marna has been a close friend of mine for more years than either of us want to count, has been in the wonderful role of being both a mentee to me and a mentor to me. And that's a valued relationship where we We both help each other. Marna is here for OHSU Day. She's a associate dean of the School of Nursing and is perhaps the most outstanding, at least the most interesting nurse that I've ever met in my life. Marna's established some extraordinary healthcare programs both at Kaiser Permanente, where she worked for more than 20 years with me, and at OHSU. And I hope if you see her down there, when you go down to get a cholesterol check or a blood pressure check down in the Galleria, you'll say hi to her for me. Marna, welcome.
Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please extend courtesies to our new page today. Would you stand up, please? This is Jeffrey Cox. He is from Portland, and he is 15 years old and in the ninth grade at Cleveland High School. He has two sisters and one brother, and he plays the clarinet in the Metropolitan Youth Symphony. His father plays the French horn in the Portland Symphony. His favorite subject in school is math, and in his free time, he likes to hang out with his friends and watch baseball. I wonder if we've ever heard that before. Thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us today.
Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. People come to this building to serve for a variety of reasons, and probably one of those reasons, it turns out, is romance. I would like to welcome two guests to the Capitol this morning, who are Diane and Danton Wagner, guests of mine in the building today, who met when they both worked in the 1985 session of the Oregon Legislature. They have been married and have a family and are coming to see their old haunts. And I would please extend the courtesies of the building to them.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Today is Oregon Health and Science University Day at the Capitol. I encourage you all to stop by the Galleria today and check out some of the great things that OHSU is doing for our state. I also ask you to join me in extending courtesies to our friend in the balcony, Mr. Yuck, from the Oregon Poison Control Center. Please make him and all of his colleagues feel welcome today. Good morning.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President from the Senate has passed in Bill 192, 193, 229, 236, 490, 563, Senate Bill 615, 729, 773, 889, 985, 158, and passed the following House bills amended by the Senate. House Bill 2405. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President from the D assigned. House Bill 2128, 2130, 2164, 2192, Senate Bill 40, Senate Bill 41, and 99.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. Committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports, propositions, and motions. Representative Barker, to your motion.
I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2160 and repass the bill.
Representative Barker moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2160 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, House Bill 2160 comes back to us amended from the Senate, where it passed unanimously. This bill deletes provisions permitting the Director of Veterans Affairs to contract for attorney services for war veterans. It expands rulemaking authority of the Department of Veterans Affairs and expands the role of the Advisory Committee to the Department of Veterans Affairs. The amendment was a simple technical fix. The bill also passed this chamber unanimously. We should concur in the Senate amendments and repass House Bill 2160.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2160 and repass the bill will vote aye, and those opposed no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey is off the floor. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2160A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2792, relating to water utilities.
Bill read second time, is passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2826, relating to corporations.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2826A. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I begin, may I ask unanimous consent to temporarily return to the order of courtesies?
Representative Reed requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Without objection, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to ask your help in welcoming a group of fourth grade students from Heighton Elementary in our district, Mrs. True's class from the in the rear gallery. Thank you.
Further courtesies? Seeing none. Representative Reed, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Happy to bring to you House Bill 2826 from the Judiciary Committee, and happy to carry a bill that will build on Oregon's reputation as a friendly home for entrepreneurs. When a corporation is formed in Oregon, it must file articles of incorporation with the Secretary of State. Current law includes a list of things that the articles must include and a list of things that the articles may include. House Bill 2826 proposes to add an item to the list of things that may be included in the articles of incorporation. The bill would allow corporations to include, quote, a provision authorizing or directing the corporation to conduct the business of the corporation in a manner that is environmentally and socially responsible. Principle of corporate law is that corporations must act in the interests of its owners. Courts have suggested this principle is a requirement that corporations act to maximize short-term corporate profits, even to the exclusion of environmental and social responsibility. House Bill 2826 allows corporations who wish to do so to state their intentions to make environmental and social responsibility a priority. It offers those corporations additional protection against claims that decisions made in the interest of environmental and social responsibility are a failure of fiduciary duties. This addition is needed because of a lack of Oregon case law. That uncertainty may cause boards to be reluctant to adopt policies for socially and environmentally responsible conduct. Let me be clear about two things you might wonder about. First, as I said, this provision does not obligate any corporation to do anything. It's merely permissive, an option for those corporations who wish to use it. Second, this provision is perfectly transparent. Articles of incorporation are consistent with shareholder democracy. They're always available to the public, and if a change is proposed, shareholders vote on the change. In a state looking to embrace the opportunities presented by environmental entrepreneurship, this modest amendment makes good sense, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Reed, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that House Bill 2826A should be passed will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? Representative Krieger votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Representative Rosenbaum votes aye. And Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2826A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2941, relating to motor vehicle transactions.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2941. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2941 comes to you from your Business and Labor Committee with a unanimous due pass. This bill corrects two issues regarding the sale of new vehicles in Oregon. The first issue concerns Oregon's Lemon Law. Currently, the law applies only to vehicles that are sold in Oregon. House Bill 2941 updates the Lemon Law to include vehicles sold in any state to an Oregon resident. The second issue concerns a type of vehicle sale known as a spot delivery. A spot delivery is where the dealership allows the consumer to drive the new vehicle off the lot before financing of the vehicle has been approved. The law currently is vague as to how long the dealer has to complete the sale. HB 2941 clarifies current statute to require dealers to complete the transaction within 14 days, either by finalizing the terms of the sale or rescinding the transaction. So nobody is left wondering. In doing so, Oregonians will know if their new vehicle has been financed at the negotiated terms within a reasonable amount of time. Furthermore, dealers will have a clear provision to follow when financing the sale of a vehicle. It's a good consumer protection bill. It's a good bill. I would urge your vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, you wish to close.
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that House Bill 2941 should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Votes aye. And the carrier of the bill votes. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Votes aye as well. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Lim votes aye. Representative Gelser votes aye. Representative Scott votes aye. And Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2941, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3159, relating to benefits for performing military services and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3159. Representative Scott.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 3159 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Scott moves that House Bill 3159 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to make the motion to refer House Bill 3159 to Joint Committee on Ways and Means. 3159 entitles certain state veterans to receive state educational aid currently with federal education aid. It eliminates the restrictions that the aid is available to only to those veterans not receiving educational aid from federal government. It entitles state veterans to the aid. Since this bill passed the Veterans Affairs Committee, it has been discovered that it could have up to a $7 million fiscal impact on the general fund. This was not anticipated in the governor's recommended budget and needs to be sent to Ways and Means to give it a thorough review.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Scott, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are opinion that the motion should pass will vote aye. We'll do this orally. Those who are the opinion it should pass will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion is adopted. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2910, relating to elections.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2910A. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2910A comes to you from the House
Elections, Ethics, and Rules Committee with unanimous vote. It's a very simple bill. This would direct the political committee statement of organization when a political organization forms anywhere in the state to designate an additional person plus the treasurer to receive notices that are sent to the treasurer. This came out of an experience of a Jackson County political organization where the treasurer unfortunately suffered from a mental incapacity during the course of a campaign and stacked all the letters from the elections division on her desk, never opened them, and never told anybody else involved with the committee, similar to the way that candidates must now be notified when a treasurer is notified of a possible contribution or campaign infraction. This would do the same thing for all political committees. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Buckley, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are in opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Barnhart votes aye. House Bill 2910A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business line on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 158 relating to workers' compensation coverage for home care workers. Senate Bill 192 relating to building trades. Senate Bill 193 relating to systems subject to Board of Boiler Rules and Regulation and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 229 relating to license assessment ordered by the State Board of Psychologists Examiners. Senate Bill 236 relating to brands and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 490 relating to hunting and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 563 relating to managed care plans for injured workers. Senate Bill 615 relating to bounty charges with Metropolitan Service District. Senate Bill 729 relating to bicycles. Senate Bill 773 relating to conflicts between provisions applicable to Metropolitan Service District. Senate Bill 889 relating to practice pharmacy. Senate Bill 985 relating to post-conviction relief and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that Senate bills 5502, 5510, 5514, 5523, 5524, 5526, and 5532 be taken from today's calendar and placed in their proper place on Monday, April 9, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 61, relating to Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action Service.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 61A. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That bill came up a little quicker than I anticipated. All right. Senate Bill 61A was developed by the Housing and Community Services Department in response to requests by a number of public and private organizations wanting assistance in performing background checks on volunteers. They just simply didn't know how to do it, didn't really have the wherewithal to figure it out, the best ways to do it. So the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, otherwise known as Oregon Volunteers, surveyed a number of nonprofit and education institutions and found that they did little or no volunteer screening. And the importance of screening will be obvious for both institutions that have to do with children or other vulnerable people served by these volunteers. An existing law and administrative rule already governs background checks and screening for caseworkers and full-time employees. And other legislation has been introduced this session to address the need to screen school volunteers. Senate Bill 61 directs the Oregon Volunteers to identify best practices for screening volunteers solely to make that information available to these groups throughout the state, especially those who work with vulnerable populations. This bill is similar to legislative changes made recently in Ohio. This bill was amended in the House committee so that organizations would not be required to adopt or follow the best practices identified by the Oregon Volunteers so they would not open themselves up to liability for failure to do so. It just is an extra tool available to volunteer organizations. And I urge your aye vote for Senate Bill 61A.
Further discussion, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 61 was developed by the OHCS, as has been noted, because there's a number of public as well as private organizations that are wanting assistance in performing background checks. The different organizations surveyed a number, or excuse me, the Volunteers Commission surveyed a number of nonprofit and educational institutions and found that many did little or no screening. And so this is extremely important to have this set up. I would just like to also point out in the to give our nonprofit organizations that there is another bill in the hopper that I hope will come to this floor very soon, and that's House Bill 2542. It would reduce the fees to 25% for volunteers that are serving kids and serving seniors and others that need these volunteer organizations. I'm very hopeful that that bill will also get to the floor very soon, so that the fees that are currently being charged aren't so onerous, especially on these nonprofit organizations. I do urge us an aye vote for Senate Bill 61. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Thatcher, do you wish to close? She does not. Those of opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Dallum votes aye. Representative Barker votes aye. Senate Bill 61A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 83, relating to terminology describing persons.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 83A. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 83 comes to us as a result of legislation that we passed in 2005 directing legislative counsel to update our state laws using respectful language, which puts people first. The reason that your bill folder is quite as large as it is that legislative counsel went through just about every nook and cranny in Oregon law to find statutes where there was outdated terminology such as handicapped, mentally retarded, mentally ill, and disabled person. Senate Bill 83 is about a change in mindset. It's about recognizing people for who they are and not for their physical or mental condition. Senate Bill 83 is about getting rid of old negative stereotypes, and instead it puts people first. We may all experience some sort of disability in our lives. If you get leukemia, are you cancerous, or do you have cancer? Will you be demented, or will you be a person with dementia? How would you like your voters to call you a, and this is very personal, disabled legislator instead of a legislator with a disability? I know this sounds like symbolism and semantics, and it is. The power of words is a big deal. Words can be very hurtful or very helpful. And I hope we're picking up on the significance of this. Senate Bill 83 is about respect. If people with disabilities are going to be part of all aspects of our society, They need to be respected as fellow citizens, and we need to quit using language that devalues them. One of the individuals who testified during committee said, "It's important that we recognize people first, not their disability. As a person with a disability, I want to be known."
Colleagues, I'm going to ask you to keep your discussions down or take them out into the foyer. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This person who testified went on to say, "As a person with a disability, I want to be known by my name and my abilities, not by my disability label. These Oregonians want to be recognized first and foremost as people. That's how we should refer to them in statute and in our daily conversations. People." Senate Bill 83 changes the terminology in our state laws to read persons with disabilities, persons with mental illness. I've done some work with the folks at Clackamas County NAMI, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and I think most of us remember the hard work that went into passing Senate Bill 1 last session to help better provide health care for those with mental challenges. Today, maybe we can help heal the soul, help heal any hurt feelings, and start new. People first. Respectful language in our state. Senate Bill 83 sends a message that the use of this terminology, this language, is important to all Oregonians. I urge your support for Senate Bill 83. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Flores, do you wish to close? She does not. Those are the opinion that Senate Bill 83A should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 83A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 196, relating to unemployment insurance fund.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 196. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 196 comes from your Business and Labor Committee, another unanimous due pass recommendation. This legislation was requested by the Oregon Employment Department. The purpose of this bill is twofold: to discourage individuals from representing their needs when requesting unemployment insurance benefits, from misrepresenting their needs when requesting unemployment insurance benefit, and to decrease future benefits available to those who commit fraud in this area. In order to achieve these objectives, the Employment Department has requested that we make some changes. One, to increase the time that a fraudulent person would be prohibited from reapplying for unemployment benefits after it's been determined that they've fraudulently misrepresented the facts. They couldn't reapply. The law changes from 26 weeks, which is current, to 52 weeks. In other words, they'd have a whole year before they could reapply. It adds a 15% monetary penalty and increases the time that a fraudulent person has to repay that from 3 years to 5 years. It should be noted that the payments from the 15% penalty will be redeposited into the Employment Department's Special Fraud Control Fund. These resources will be used by the Employment Department to further detect and prevent fraud. This bill basically is an attempt to keep people from misusing a really good and valuable system. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those are our opinion that Senate Bill 196 should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 196, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 362, relating to Oregon prescription drug program and declaring an emergency.
We'll find out. I think so. We'll find out. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 362B. Representative Kelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with great pleasure that I bring to you today Senate Bill 362B, which is a bill that I'm confident the people of Oregon will be excited to see us pass through this House today. Senate Bill 362B is going to reduce prescription drug costs by further expanding Oregon's bulk prescription drug purchasing program. Just to remind you, back in 2003, the legislature created this program, but it was limited to seniors and low-income individuals. This past November, voters overwhelmingly voted to extend this program to more families. An overwhelming 78% of Oregonians voted in favor of expanding this program. This bill will expand the program further, making it possible for small businesses to benefit from the savings available to them from the bulk purchasing program, and also to individuals in Oregon who are underinsured from their private insurance. Enrollees apply for this program through the Department of Administrative Services. There is no membership fee required to participate in the program. Instead, the cost is covered by a small fee that's charged at the point of service where people purchase the drugs in order to cover those costs. This bill, unfortunately, we won't be the first person to do it. The state of Washington is inched ahead of us. They are already doing it, and this will allow us to catch up. The prescription drug program already is saving Oregonians thousands and thousands of dollars. This will be good news for business, who the National Federation of Independent Businesses has cited that the rising cost of health insurance and health costs is one of the most pressing issues that they face. This will help them grapple with that by making prescription drug coverage affordable for small businesses to offer to their employees. And for those employees that don't have affordable prescription drug coverage available to them, they will finally have access to the life-saving, life-sustaining, and life-improving medications that they need every day that are currently denied to them because they are too expensive. Voters have already resoundingly told us that they support our bulk prescription drug program. I hope that you will join me today in voting for this. It's smart government, it's good for business, it's good for families, and it is simply the right thing to do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the carrier would yield to a couple of questions.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. My apologies for not getting these to you sooner, but I was just sitting here kind of wondering. Is there, with this bill now, will there be anybody in the state that cannot use the program?
It's now basically open to everyone who is underinsured for prescription drug access.
Further question, Mr. Speaker?
Additional question to the carrier. Do you yield?
Yes.
She does.
Is this basically price setting?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Is this basically price setting by the state?
No. Thank you, Representative. It is not price setting. This simply allows the people of Oregon to benefit from harnessing the power of everybody coming together to negotiate the price for drugs. It doesn't set the price. It just puts us in a great position to negotiate for prices that will make prescriptions accessible to Oregonians who need them for their health and well-being.
Okay. Thank you. Further question?
Additional questions? Carrie Yield?
Yes, I do.
She does.
Thank you. Do we know, or was there any discussion in committee about what effect this will have on future research by the drug companies?
Thank you, Representative. That was not discussed in committee.
Thank you. Further question?
Additional question of the carrier. Do you yield?
Yes, I do.
She does.
Knowing that healthcare costs are driven by a number of factors and that it's kind of like squeezing a balloon where something else comes out somewhere else, do we know what the overall effect on the healthcare costs are going to be with passage of this bill?
Thank you, Representative. The overall impact will be that Oregonians across the state will be able to afford their prescription drugs. This will allow us to be in a stronger negotiating position, and it's the businesses and the people of Oregon that are going to win.
Thank you.
Additional discussion? Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill.
To the bill.
I just want to add the previous speaker's comments about urging support of Senate Bill 362B. We started two sessions ago to create this purchasing pool in state law based on market principles that are very important. We heard from the drug companies that if you move market share, you get discounted price. If you move market share, you get rebates. And in the early bills, we had the strong support of the drug companies. In the original SB 875, strong support of pharma and the drug companies in passing it. This completes the loop that we began. We began this slowly, as was recommended in the 2003 session, moved it, increased the scope of the program by initiative in the November 06 election, and this fills the promise that we started 4 years ago. It's a good bill. It makes economic and public policy sense, and I urge all of my colleagues to support it.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do. I wanted to point out that already 12,500 people have enrolled in the Oregon Prescription Drug Benefit Program, and they have experienced an average savings of $28 per prescription. So for your constituents and my constituents, when they're going to the pharmacy, they are experiencing an average $28 savings on their prescriptions. I think that it is the right thing to do, that we would expand that opportunity to Oregonians across the state. Also, the Oregon Prescription Drug Program is an excellent example of a public-private partnership. Oregonians and businesses will benefit from the larger negotiating power while still paying the cost for their prescriptions. This isn't something that the state of Oregon is suddenly paying for prescriptions. We are simply conducting smart business by coming together to negotiate. Adding private businesses and underinsured Oregonians will not increase the cost of the program, but it is going to significantly increase the savings available to Oregonians in your district and in mine. Opening the Oregon Prescription Drug Program is going to lower the cost of health care, it's going to help increase Oregon's economic competitiveness, and it's going to benefit all regions of the state. The voters told us what they thought last November. I hope that you'll join me in voting yes. This is the smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the economical thing to do. And I look forward to going home and telling my constituents that they will have the ability to benefit from this program. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Everyone has voted. Senate Bill 362B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus for a few moments at the conclusion of session on the floor.
Further announcements? Remonstrances? Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd just like to draw your attention to an article in today's Capitol Clips from the Statesman Journal that talks about a woman, or two cases, actually, of people who developed colon cancer, one a doctor, the other
very low-income mother of several children who had no insurance, and just the difference in the way those two cases were treated. In the case of the doctor, obviously he had great care, got detected early, treated early. The woman had been suffering symptoms for about a year before even seeking medical attention, and obviously he fared much better than she did. And I think as we hear about these nationally known cases like Elizabeth Edwards and Tony Snow, and you know, as difficult as those are people who have the very best of care that money can buy. But I think it's important for us all to remember that not everybody has those advantages, and that these are real people who are suffering and often dying much sooner than they needed to because of a lack of care. And there's something we can do about that. And I think that we really need to remember those people as we consider the solutions.
Further remonstrances, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is more of an announcement than a remonstrance. I just want to remind folks, both women and men, that the Women's Health and Wellness Alliance will meet at noon in room 350. Be sure and come. This is an important meeting. Thank you.
Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to alert everybody here that April is Autism Awareness Month. Some of you are already aware of how this issue affects my family, and I just wanted to bring your attention to some national and state statistics. Currently, the rise in autism has brought us to a point where one in 150 children in the United States is on the autism spectrum. It is much more likely to occur in boys, where nationally we have one in 94 boys are affected. In Oregon, we have the highest rates in the nation, one in 98 children and one in some 70-some boys is affected. In Lane County, where I'm from, the rate of autism among boys is one in 55 and is second only to Silicon Valley. Of course, my son, my five-year-old son, Simon, has autism. I know of at least four people standing on this floor right now who have family members with autism, and I know of numerous others that have friends with children that have autism. This is a national epidemic, and it affects our state disproportionately, and I hope that we will be looking at the issue as a legislative body. Thanks.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:30 a.m., Thursday, April 5th, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m. when
President Jensen moved. Oops.
Day April 5th, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:30 a.m. Thursday, April 5th, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.